As U.S. and British forces oust the Ba'athist regime from towns and cities in southern Iraq, the Shiite Muslims who live there are contemplating at least the possibility of their political empowerment. The Shia are a majority of the Iraqi population. Their co-religionists are the dominant group in neighboring Iran, and there's also a minority of Shia in neighboring Saudi Arabia. For a sense of how an Iraq that might be more responsive to its majority group might affect the region, we've called on Edmund Gharib, who is professor of Kurdish and Middle East Studies at American University in Washington, D.C. Professor Gharib, first, is there any way that the U.S. or Britain, or the U.N. for that matter, could play midwife to a more democratic Iraq without altering the balance between the Shia Muslim Arabs, the Sunni Muslim Arabs, and the mostly Sunni Muslim Kurds?
Well, it's going to be difficult to do that, but there's no doubt that there are going to be changes once the regime falls. And a great deal, however, is going to depend on what the U.S. Decides to do. How is it going to handle the situation? To what extent is the United States going to invite the representatives of the different groups to participate in the decision-making process? How representative, how fairly balanced is the government that's going to be establishment? And a great deal is going to depend on that.
Of the groups that are out there right now that might conceivably compete for power in the south of Iraq, there is Mr. Chalabi, who I gather is a Shiite Muslim, and, mm-hmm. and he's back. There is the Supreme Council for an Islamic Revolution in Iraq, which is based, I gather, in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference in terms of the way the neighborhood would view Iraq if one or the other were in a prominent position after the war?
There's no doubt that the secular forces might prefer somebody like Mr. Chalabi. But at the same time, one of the main things that I think has to be understood is that the opposition forces, which do have strong base of support, are the two Kurdish parties, which are led by Masoud Barzani and Jalal Talabani, and by the Supreme Assembly for the Islamic Revolution, which is led by Ayatollah Muhammad Bakr al-Hakim. Al-Hakim has more support and a larger base among the population in the southern part of Iraq than Mr. Chalabi does. And they also have the military muscle as well. They have the Badr Brigade and the Tawabin Brigade, which are military forces. Some of them have already entered into the northern part of Iraq.
These were based in Iran before.
They were based in Iran. And they were the ones who were involved in the 1991 uprising against Saddam Hussein.
Well, if the Ayatollah were the next president of Iraq, you don't think there'd be people howling down in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia over that?
Well, I think there have been attempts, from what I understand, to at least communicate between the Supreme Assembly and some of the neighbors of Iraq and to try to send messages that they should not worry. But there's no doubt that if it appears that there is a religious government that's going to be established, this would be a source of worry for some of the neighbors, which have internal problems with their own minorities, and also with those who are secular nationalists, and with those who also worry about the possibility that there would be a close alliance between the government and the Iranian government.
But you seem to have described just about everybody in the region there. It seems like everybody would be very anxious about that.
Well, I think many of them would be anxious, but that's why I'm saying a great deal is going to depend on the government. Because when you talk about a Shiite government, the thing that we must always remember, that not all the Shia see themselves as Shia first, Iraqis second, as Arabs third. There are many Shia. There are even now within the regime of Saddam Hussein. There are high-level Shiite officials, although the Shia have not been represented within the regime in accordance with their percentage of the population, and Shia political activism has also been suppressed by the regime.
Professor Gharib, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Edmund Gharib, professor of Kurdish and Middle East Studies at American University in Washington, D.C.